You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk. Entrepreneur Corner.
And this week we're speaking to Mohadi Moloko Mabela, who is the business owner of Native Nosi, which is a company that is a beekeeping company in the city of Joburg. So Mohadi, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Good morning.
Thanks. Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you very much for joining us. So the decision to go into beekeeping, how do you make that decision? When do you make that decision?
Never. So what actually happened is that this is a family legacy. I didn't wake up one morning and decide to start it. My grandfather used to be a crop farmer and had some beehives on his farm. To pollinate the crops that he used to grow seasonally on his farm. And my father grew up and he was particularly interested in the beehives that he had. So growing up, my father always had some beehives, and eventually he was also doing it full time. And then I'm my father's firstborn child. He was fortunate to have only daughters. And seeing that he didn't have a son who would then step in and, you know, take over from him, we had to then consider what would happen in the event that he's no more alive to continue his legacy, because he had done a lot of it and he had numerous beehives all over Limpopo province, and we knew that it would be such a waste if none of us went into finding out what he does and eventually taking over. So that's how I got into beekeeping.
Okay. And which bee species do you keep? Are they bee species indigenous to South Africa? Which ones?
Yes. We are using, we're working with the African bee species, and that is the bee species that is prevalent in our region. It's not the Cape that is prevalent in the southern part of South Africa. So it would be in the southern part of South Africa, which would be the Eastern Cape, the Western Cape. So we are using the species that is prevalent in our region and in the northern regions of South Africa.
And in terms of the products, I mean, we know that there are lots of products that, you know, can be made from beekeeping, from, I think, wax products to the actual food product itself. So which products does Native Nosi currently provide?
Okay, so from the beehive, you can have wax, you can have honey, you can have propolis. And with us, because we are still a small company, we are still producing honey. And the wax that we do have from the beehives, we are using to then do our wax that we put into our hive frames. So we are not at this point selling beeswax. The wax that we do make, we still reuse for our beehives. So right now we're still specializing in honey production. We are looking into, you know, wax production. We are looking into going into propolis. But that would be when we are at a scale that is large enough for us to be able to venture into those other products and concentrate on commercializing them.
So in terms of the business of beekeeping, how many people do you have employed as part of Native Nosi? And when you started, when, you know, the business started getting going, you know, what were your expectations in terms of the kind of help and expertise you would need? And which people have you had to bring in as the business has grown?
Okay, so currently we have about 80 active beehives. When I say active, it means that they actually do have bees in them and they're actually making honey. And then because it's still a small number, we don't have permanent employees. It's a family company, so I've got a cousin who's unemployed who I'm using to help me run the everyday of the company. Mm-hmm. Where we actually need a lot of labor is during the seasonal changes. So with bees, You harvest seasonally depending on where your hives are. And the hives are quite heavy, and it's a laborsome job when you have to harvest them and when you have to change them to different locations. So currently we are still hiring labor seasonally during those times where we need to harvest. But in terms of permanent employees, we only have one, that's excluding myself. So as we upscale, because we are looking at buying more beehives because our honey is in demand, mm-hmm. and we are now trying to capacitate the company to be able to respond to that demand. Mm-hmm. So as it grows, we will be looking into hiring, and we're actually at the brink of doing that because the workload is actually starting to get much. In terms of capacitating ourselves, apart from the skills transfer that my father did, we attended a course by Mike Miles. Mike Miles is the chairperson for the South African Bee Industry Organization in the country, and he runs training courses for beekeepers, beginning and intermediate, and we have enrolled in those beekeeping courses just so that we can also then understand the beekeeping industry. We can understand bees. We can understand our role in the industry. We have then taken that course and used it to actually empower ourselves so that we can be more efficient in the daily runnings of the business. Going forward, we also realize that we also need certain business skills, because running a business doesn't only require, you know, the farming part of it. There's also then the accounting, the books, you know, that we need to then pay attention to. So those are things that we actually then realized as we go, that we actually need to capacitate ourselves in that regard.
Mm. A couple of weeks ago, in fact, I think it was earlier on this month, there were reports that, so earlier on in the year, there were concerns about the numbers in the States, certainly the honeybees being the numbers declining. And there was a big concern about, you know, what that meant for agriculture. But for the most part, I think many people don't quite know why bees are so important. So in addition to the products they provide, they're quite important to the ecosystem, to the environment. They're quite important for agriculture. And when people ask about, you know, why are bees important, you know, what do you tell particularly laymen who only think of bees as, you know, creators of perhaps wax or honey? Why are they so important? Why is it so important to care about the numbers of bees in our environments?
Okay. So what people don't realize is that without bees, we won't have fruits, we won't have vegetables, we won't have seeds, we won't have nuts. The reason being that we have a couple of pollinators, which would include wind, which would include bumblebees, butterflies, and we also have bees. But bees are the biggest pollinators that we have. Mm-hmm. And they are responsible for ensuring that they pollinate crops, so that crops can be able to multiply and blossom in order for whatever that kind of crop is to actually grow. So that's why you'd find that on certain farms, like baby marrow farms, like avocado farms, like lychee farms, like macadamia farms, you need beehives to ensure that the farmer actually yields whatever crop it is that they're trying to grow. So in layman terms, bees are responsible for most of the food that you will eat during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever food that you're going to eat today, a bee had a role in ensuring that that food came to your plate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would make it understandable for any other person who was, you know, wanting to understand the role of bees in our ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the bee population decline, we have, there's a global bee population decline. What that means is that every year we are seeing numbers of bees that are like decreasing. So
mm-hmm.
they are steadily decreasing, meaning that I have 80 beehives today. If I am going to yield 1,000 tons of honey from those 80 beehives in 2017, it means that in 2007, I was able to yield probably 1,500 tons of honey. Because what is happening is that we don't have enough bees. So if we don't have enough bees, then our bee production is impacted on, because the number of bees are not as many as they used to be before.
Mm-hmm.
And that directly threatens our food security. because without the bees, then we are not able to secure enough food that is going to be able to feed the numbers of people that actually need food on a daily basis. So we need more beekeepers. We need more bee activity so that they can be able to protect the species and assisted to ensure that our food security is not threatened.
Mm. Taking a look at the SMS line, someone saying they went to school with you and they say well done on the project, saying very proud of the work that you've done. Another SMS asking, is the project a BEE project? Is it black owned? It's BEE. Well, we do know it's black owned, but in terms of its BEE status, asking, you know, the extent to which it's an empowerment project.
Yeah. So currently, I am the founder and the only owner of Native Norsi. Formally, I am looking at, because it's a family business in terms of how it started. We are trying to maintain that even if we grow, most of the company remains with the family. So because I've been getting so much help from my father and getting so much help from my cousin and my sister, if we are to grow in terms of, you know, putting more directors on the company, it will grow that way. Although we are talking to investors who are wanting to assist us to grow, we are looking at keeping it in the company. I am black. I'm a woman. I'm young. My sister is black. She's a woman. She's young. My mom is black. She's a woman. And my cousin is black, and he's a gentleman, and he's also young. So I think in the medium to long term, we are looking at retaining that. And then even if we do grow to accommodate more people in the company, we will not allow it to be a majority hold that will compromise our BEE status, because we are also looking at empowering previously disadvantaged people from Native Norsi and around the Native Norsi community. So that is not going to compromise our BEE status.
Mm. A tweet here from, I've now lost sight of it, there it is, at Masenya saying, can you please ask Muhadi, I guess there are many of these in your home, if your husband ever calls you honey. So many honey jokes. Also saying, love your work and may the Lord bless your hustle. But also, if someone's looking to get into the business of beekeeping, I know you were speaking about, you know, there's a huge opportunity for people to get into beekeeping, particularly with regards to, you know, keeping the species alive, but also the numbers at a point where we're able to keep having, you know, the ecosystem is, you know, in the right balance and we have food. But what does it take to get into the industry? Is it a very difficult industry to get into?
Well, what I can say is that the demographics within the bee industry are not favoring the previously disadvantaged people, because the industry is full of white older males. So I was able to have a breakthrough because of my dad. I don't know what the circumstances would have been if I were a starter beekeeper. But then I do think that we need to change that because a lot of our previously disadvantaged people are living in rural communities which have ideal conditions for beekeeping. You'd find that, you know, previously black people, Renelimashimo, where people are no more even entertaining agricultural activities anymore. And those rural areas are where we as Native Norsi are actually then going to put our beehives. So those kind of locations are ideal for our previously disadvantaged unemployed people can actually then exploit to start beekeeping. I do know that, you know, the couple of beekeeping courses, one of the ones that I attended was Mike Miles, and We as Native Norsi in our medium-term plan is looking at capacitating ourselves to actually provide beginner training for beekeeping, because we are on a daily basis confronted with people who actually want to come into it. But because we ourselves are still in a learning phase, we are not in a position to do that. But we do encourage black people who are willing to, you know, go through beekeeping and attending beginner courses to do this beekeeping thing. And we as Native Norsi, over and above making our own honey, we actually buy honey from rural farmers who don't have access to markets, because we have a lot of demand for our honey which we are not able to fulfill. Mm. So I believe that there's a lot of opportunity, and over and above that, if I can just add, South Africa is importing more than 50% of the honey we consume. So it means that there's a potential 50% market of our honey that needs South African local people to actually make, because most of it we are importing. So it means that there's a lot of business opportunity that we as South Africans can exploit, because, I mean, if we're eating more honey than we actually make, that tells you that, you know, there's a huge demand for honey in South Africa.
We've got Peter in Woodstock on the line. Peter, good morning.
Hi, compliments to your friend. Basically, you're doing a fantastic job. I just want to bring something to your attention. Where you harvesting this honey, have you got a lot of fruit trees? Are you busy with a whole lot of fruit tree plantation? Because that's really important. The thing is pesticides as well. Because if you look at what's going on in China, most of the bees are dying off. Mm. And the problem is they're sending us syrup. But I mean, the thing is important to have fruit trees so you can actually get your yield bigger and bigger.
Can I respond to that?
Yes, you can, Mohadi.
Okay, so what's happening, Native North, we don't have our own land. So how we actually do our beekeeping is that we partner with landowners, particularly farm owners, who are planting different crops throughout the year. Some of them include avocado, blue gum, lychees, butternuts, macadamia, acacia. It's a whole host of crops. And what we do as Native Nosi is that during different blooming times of the year, depending on where which crop is in season, we take our beehives there. So, for example, currently our bees are in avocado farms in Tzaneen and blue gum farms in Tzaneen. We are looking at moving them to acacia farms in Polokwane, and then later on in during next year, we are going to move them to sunflower farms. So we work very closely with farmers simply because we don't have our own land, and for us to remain productive, we need to then work with bee farmers so that it can be a mutually beneficial relationship. So the farmers get to have the plants pollinated. We get to keep our bees so that they can have access to food anytime during the year. So it is very important for us to do that. On the issue of pesticides, particularly with our citrus crops, we have a problem with the sites where we used to place our beehives, because they used to spray a lot of pesticides. And apart from compromising the lives of our bees, we were worried about the quality of our honey, because if the bees are going to pollinate crops which are pumped with pesticides, we won't be able to get the quality of honey that we are known for as Native Nosi. So we do take precaution on the type of farms where we put our bees, because we are concerned with ensuring that we provide our market with local indigenous pure honey. So we take caution of that, and we try to work with our farmers to ensure that the pest control programs are going to complement the kind of product we want to give to our market as Native Nosi.
I just want to bring in something else to your attention. You know, we got a lot of people on flea markets selling different honeys, but the thing is, you know, there's a peach honey where there's just peaches involved. Do you categorize your stuff as well, if it's in a grape area where there's just grapes? Because you can actually smell the grape coming through the honey, basically, to a certain degree, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, of course. So our clients, because we started very small, how I started was that I used to sell honey that my father used to make. And I think one of the reasons why I actually made the decision to go into it was because I realized that people were fascinated with knowing every time I gave them a bottle of honey, where it came from, what kind of honey it is. So currently I have some Saligna honey, and I've mixed it together with some Evo honey. So I am able to, at any time during the year, tell you the kind of honey that I have and which farm it comes from, because we are selling raw honey. So our honey always looks different from the one that you got before, in terms of texture, in terms of taste, in terms of color, because depending on which flower the bee fed on to make the honey, the honey will always be different. And because we are a migratory beekeeper where we move our beehives, we end up with different kind of honey all the time throughout the year.
Perfect. Thanks a million. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for your call, Peter.
Thank you so much.
A question about Native Norse's website. Sia on Twitter asking, it says the website is under construction. Any timeline on when that will be up? But also, if not the website, where can people find Native Norse?
Okay. So I'm happy you asked that question, because just last night I was looking at my demo website and it's going to be up and running within a week to 2 weeks maximum. And then from there, people will be able to order our honey. We don't have a store at the moment, so most of our honey is being sold. What's the word that they call it? It's when the store is not a physical store.
Are you selling it? It's online?
Yeah, we have an online store.
Okay.
And then what people can do is that they can, at the current moment, they find me on my social networks, which is Native Norse on Twitter and Instagram, and also on Facebook. And from there, they normally order. And then you can also send an email to info@nativenorse.co.za. And then when the site comes, you'll be able to order directly from the site. So for now, you can just find me on my social networks or email info@nativenorse.co.za.
Thank you very much. That's Mokgadi Moloko Mabela, the founder of Native Norse. And Norse is N-O-S-I if you're looking for them. Thank you very much for your time, Mokgadi.
Thank you so much for having me, Kuku.